Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, December 23rd, 2015. And with me today, because I wanted it just be kind of a cozy one-on-one thing today, I have Brian Chaffin.
Merry Christmas.
A Merry Christmas. Also, Festivus is today.
Or Happy Birthday.
It just wouldn't be a holiday season without that. That was wonderful. Yeah. So, Brian, it's great to have you on the show. I think this is the first time where we've been able to do a show, just us.
It's like a little mini ACM.
It's kind of like that, yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's probably really, really a lot like that. Except today, the topics are coming faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the first one that I thought would be kind of interesting to talk about, because I'm very intrigued to hear what you think, because you have an extensive music background. You have a very wide range in musical tastes. You are a musician, and I would go so far, even though I know you are too modest to say this, you are a professional musician. And see, I knew that's how you'd react. And you have some insight into the recording industry. You have recorded an album. And man, I'm feeling like all special just because of your stature in the music industry.
I am a giant, apparently.
Yes, indeed. Anyhow, so with all of that under your belt, okay, so the Beatles, their music library is coming to streaming music on Christmas Eve. So that on December 24th, it has not been available as streaming before this. And when I read that from the Beatles webpage, my first reaction was, holy crap, this is really happening. My second reaction was, this is so cool. And then my third reaction was, do I need to care? And I had a feeling that you might be able to shed some light on this and let me know if this really is a big deal as it just felt to me at first.
The answer is probably yes or no. You know, yes and no, I should say.
Oh, okay. The
not thinking fast enough here. This reminds me of a story. And this is, golly, this is 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. My now ex-wife was working and she was managing in a retail environment and, where a lot of young people worked. And she was having a conversation about maybe there was a Beatles song that was on the piped-in music. And and they were talking about the Beatles. She and this other employee were talking about the Beatles, and I guess the name John Lennon came up. And a 17-year-old kid who would be in his, you know, late 20s by now, walked up and said, John Lennon, you mean the ice skater?
Oh, holy crap.
And, you know, it was sort of one of those generational moments when you realize that the kids don't know who the Beatles are, right? And, I mean, which is not true with all kids, of course. I mean, the Beatles remain startlingly popular after, you know, we're going on 60 years here now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that right? Or is my math wrong? We're in our 50s, I guess, at this point with the Beatles. And but you know, we're talking about streaming music. I'm conflicted on my thoughts here. Yesterday we mentioned, or was that the day before when we mentioned Taylor Swift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been in the last couple of days.
And my thought with Taylor Swift coming to Apple Music, doing the exclusive showing of her 1989 World Tour movie, mm-hmm. that was an excellent way to get young people to sign up for Apple Music. Right? Yes.
Yep.
And maybe the Beatles is an excellent way to get a lot of people, but including older people, to do streaming music, which streaming music isn't necessarily an older person's thing. Right? Streaming music is probably the province of younger people at this point. You know, people our age and older, people maybe even up to 10 years before us, are going to be doing a lot more buying of music, buying of CDs and ripping them maybe, buying of CDs and playing them, buying music online, but actually buying it and owning it, you know?
Right.
So maybe the Beatles will be a great lure for an older demographic to come to Apple Music.
All right, I hadn't thought of that. When you said people our age and even up to 10 years younger are, and I'm paraphrasing you now, more likely to be interested in purchasing their music as opposed to renting it. And it got me thinking, yes, I really still enjoy buying and owning my music, but I'm having a hard time remembering the last time I actually bought a CD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do tend to still buy and rip, but I have a subscription to Apple Music too.
I have a subscription to Apple Music, and I do buy a lot of music off of the iTunes store, which I know you're not that into because of the recording quality it's not the recording quality, it's
the copy quality.
There we go, the copy quality. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So maybe the Beatles coming to streaming music services, which includes Apple Music, Amazon Prime, Spotify.
So it's not an Apple Music exclusive?
No. There's like 8 or 9 different services.
Oh.
That all get it tomorrow.
Oh. Okay. I missed that, Jeff.
Oh, well.
I was just kind of assuming it was an Apple Music exclusive at first.
No, it's not. But I think for people that are invested in the Apple ecosystem, your argument still has merit that this could be something to draw more people into Apple Music.
Well, you know, it's a hole that's got to be filled. Any streaming music service will want to fill. I mean, the Beatles do remain enormously popular, but with it coming to multiple services all at once, it's far more likely to attract new ear holes than it is to, say, get ear holes from competing services.
Mm-hmm. Certainly probably not enough to ear holes to fill Albert Hall.
Well, nobody was sure.
This Brian is why I love you.
It's definitely interesting, and it is fascinating how relevant the Beatles remain. It is fascinating how relevant the Beatles remain, and this is, you know, coming from the Who's one of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. I like the Stones a lot. Mm-hmm. Certain periods of the Stones, at the very least.
Yeah, I'm more of a period Stone guy.
But the Beatles are the bee's knees.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm on a personal level, I'm glad that the Beatles are going to be on Apple Music and other services too. But now I am questioning if it's going to be this huge thing that really draws people in. I'm thinking now that Taylor Swift having her exclusive video tour on Apple Music is a bigger thing today.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I'm really shocked that they didn't do this as an exclusive with one provider or another, be it Apple Music, be it Amazon, be it anyone who was willing to pony up. I'm wondering if the Beatles are actually, if you, the Apple Corp, the Apple Corp, the company that actually
It manages the Beatles properties.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're maybe finding it a slight decrease in interest. Because, you know, it seems like the way to maximize your money from this would be to extract extra money for being an exclusive with somebody and then bring everybody else in.
You would think. So now I'm wondering, did they start approaching the different services and say, hey, you know, how about an exclusive? And everyone was like, And so it ended up being a multi-service thing instead.
Yeah, we have no information on that.
No, we don't.
But that seldom stops us.
That's exactly right. Yeah. All right. Well, listeners, I'm curious. What do you think? Do you think it's a huge deal that the Beatles are going to be available in streaming music? Let me know. And you can do that by hitting me up on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot an email to observations at macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And I'm curious, what do you think? And help me sort this out. Should I be excited or not about the Beatles on streaming music?
I'm actually excited. You know why?
Why, Brian? Why are you excited?
Well, I deleted all of my Beatles albums that I had ripped.
Okay.
In preparation for getting the remasters. And then didn't get the remasters.
Oh, no.
So, like, and I don't, it's like I don't want to re-rip the albums that I have, because I know that they're the remastered ones out there. I just need to buckle down and go get the remastered set.
So, Brian, you do understand you did this all in the wrong order.
Yes. No. It's LOL at me. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yes, it's absolutely ridiculous. But hey, come tomorrow, you can at least stream while you procrastinate on getting your remasters.
Exactly. I'm good at the procrastination.
Yeah. Well, and see it paid off.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on how well it works for me.
Okay. Awesome. Hey. Okay. There's another topic that I wanted to look at today, which is another reason why I wanted you here. You wrote a piece yesterday about people are calling it more confirmation that Apple is going to be releasing the iPhone 6C. And this confirmation is coming from China Mobile, where they talk about Apple releasing what they call the iPhone 7C in April.
Right.
Wait, that's not the piece I really wanted to talk about.
I thought you wanted to talk about the Apple thing.
I totally wanted to talk about the Apple thing. But since we hit this real quick, do you think they're right or wrong? And then we'll move on to what I really wanted to talk about.
I doubt that China Mobile knows. I mean, Apple doesn't typically tell anybody this far out, to tell its partners this far out what it's doing. But it's possible, but I do think that this particular rumor that Apple is going to release a new 4-inch device is this spring, that's getting close to having that sort of, you know, like every Apple rumor, right?
They build up over time.
Yeah, and the closer we get to release, the more sources you start getting. And usually it's about like 6 to 10 weeks out is usually when we have that sort of, body of evidence or something that says that, yeah, this is happening. But we're getting close to that, pretty far out for this device.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I suppose we wait and see. All right. Now, here's what I really wanted to know about and why I'm glad you're here. Another piece you wrote. So Apple is making it easier for shareholders to have proxy access that they can be part of the nomination of Apple board members.
Well,
getting this right?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, yes, theoretically, but you know, it's Apple, so there's always more to it. So it is called proxy access. And what that means is that shareholders will have access to the proxy statement. In this particular case, they're going to be able to nominate board members, as you said. This would be for any shareholder or group of shareholders that has 3% of Apple or more. They can nominate members for the board. But there's a twist. There's a limitation to this.
Okay.
And that limitation is that they can do up to 20% of Apple's total number of directors. Apple has currently 8 members of its board, meaning that shareholders could nominate 1.6, which kind of works out to more like 1.
Right.
So, yes, shareholders can nominate someone to the board, but that person is probably not going to be a disruptive influence.
Okay. So Apple has crafted this in such a way that you couldn't have, say, a handful of shareholders try and force in a new board.
Right. And this is a much bigger thing than Apple. So for Apple to have adopted this is actually it's kind of a big deal, but it's not really a big deal for Apple. And that's because few shareholders want Apple to do things differently. Right?
Right.
Some do. There are some like Mr.
Carl Icahn likes to see changes.
Yeah, I was thinking more of Sheldon
Sheldon.
Ehrlich?
Yeah, I forgot about Sheldon.
Good old Sheldon Ehrlich. Oh my goodness, I can't remember this guy's name. Local guy, very, very conservative, and he's like really cranky that Apple is doing anything about any kind of environmental stuff. Like, super cranky about it.
And he gets outspoken when he's at the shareholder meetings.
He does. When they usually put him in the overflow room these days.
Because they know him.
Am I getting the name wrong? Because I just did a search for Sheldon on our site.
I thought his name was Sheldon.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry for forgetting your name. You know, we are professionals, though, and prep every show. There are some people who want Apple to do things a little bit differently, but by and large, the candidates that Apple nominates for its board members tend to get elected with overwhelming majorities, even Al Gore, the most contentious member on the board, because of politics. And the reason why there were some activists trying to get this adopted by Apple is because Apple is so large and because Apple is so successful, what it does has an influence on the rest of the industry, the rest of the financial world out there.
Okay. So this is kind of a big deal, but not directly for Apple.
Not directly for Apple. It could, and even someday. I mean, like I said, it's 1/5 of the board members. So, like, if Apple got 2 more board members, had opened 2 more slots for their board, shareholders could theoretically nominate 2. But as it is, they can nominate 1, and that person can be outvoted by the people who were chosen by management.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we are close to out of time. I have another question for you. I'm totally putting you on the spot with this one.
Okay.
Since you are an Apple shareholder, let's assume for a moment that you actually had enough shares that you could nominate a board member. Is there someone you would like to see on the board?
Ooh. Wow. Great question that I've never put any thought into whatsoever. Me.
See, I totally put you on the spot with that.
Yeah, kind of thinking I couldn't get the votes, even if I could force the vote. It does seem like Apple needs more board members.
Mm-hmm. They do have a surprisingly small board for the size of the company.
Yeah, and you know, a board does have a lot of oversight responsibilities, and Apple is a big company. And big companies need big oversight, to be honest. Not that I'm complaining about what Apple is doing, because Apple has been extremely successful. You might have picked up on that here and there. Keep an eye on them. They're going to go places.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah, you watch them. It's a great question, but I don't have an answer.
All right. Well, we can come back at some future point when you have your answer.
Rock on.
Yeah. So it's okay. Go ahead and think about it.
Okay.
And I did put you on the spot. And we're out of time. So thank you for being here, Brian.
Thanks for having me, man. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all our listeners who care about that sort of thing. And a great day off for everybody else, although it's technically Saturday.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of people are going to get Friday off. Yeah, because it is on Saturday.
We're taking Thursday and Friday off.
We are, yeah. So don't worry about being afraid that you missed an episode on Thursday or Friday this week, because we're taking a couple days off. So we won't be back till Monday. But that's okay, because that gives you, Brian, some time to think about who you want on the board.
Yay! I will spend all my time doing so.
Awesome. Awesome. I have no doubt you will. Hey, listeners, thank you for being here on this short week. And it's always great to have your input and know that you're out there listening to the show. You guys all rock. And have a great holiday weekend. We will see everyone again on Monday.